Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Now, I want to give some highlights of this week. Well, first, we definitely got to start out with our switch tip, number 197, rely on God's word. You know, the more I live this life, the more I am inclined to rely on God's word. Because there are so many obstacles in this life. There are so many circumstances in this life. There are so many situations in this life. I've been privy to some conversations, to some feelings, to some situations, and there's always one constant in my head. And for those of you who know Pastor Steph, what did God say is my tagline. And I know, you know, there's some people like, here she go again, what did God say? I know what did God say. You know, I have really just come to rely on what God said, on his word, whether it's his written word that's going to, you know, give me some consolation or some direction when I'm, you know, kind of out there and I don't know what's going on or what I should do when I'm in a pickle. Or whether it's some audible word that God has given me. What did he say? That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And it just takes care of the situation. Yeah. You ain't really got to worry about much else once you figure out or once you remember what God then said. Yeah, I don't know about the rest of you, but that is just really my motto. And I think if most of us were to focus on the word of God and just lay right there, once we rely on God's word, it would render so much situation being answered. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying that switch tip this week, because can nothing be better than the Word of God? Well, what else was a highlight for me this week? The conversation where we talked about the couples and them sleeping together. You know, the trend is to sleep without your spouse, sleep in a separate bed. You don't have to argue over cover and blanket, and you don't have to worry about somebody snoring or somebody wearing an ugly CPAP machine, and you don't have to be concerned about this or being concerned about that. And I got to tell you, stop following these people. Stop worrying about what these people on the outside are doing. You know, we talked about that. Yeah, the ladies and myself, we talked about that, and we talked about the fact that, hey, what does God say? Is it godly? Is this something that God wants for our marriage? Well, it's safe to say no. Safe to say no. However, we do understand that as this marriage has grown into and blossomed into something a whole lot more than just you and her, you and him, and it's now a ministry, that ministry may look a little different, and God's word might be something a little different. And Elton and Tisha talked about her and her husband's dynamic, and it's so true. It is so true. It's not cookie cutter. It's no one size fits all. And again, what did God say? What, rely on his word. You know, there's nothing biblical where you get married and 2 years deep, you're not sleeping in two different places. You know, the word of God says, don't give room for the enemy to get up in there and cause any level of confusion. And definitely, definitely, that is something that would happen. Yeah. Y'all might think that this is, you know, the thing to do, and you know, this is healthy, and, you know, we're getting our independence on, but, you know, the ladies talked about it. How is this one? The two shall become one. How does that happen? When the primary time that you're together, you're spending apart. Yeah. So, think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Well, one of the other highlights to this week was yesterday here on His Due Time with our girl, health instructor, Athena Dent Allen. And oh my goodness, she talked about the comparison, you know, good food and bad food, and how do we substitute some of this bad food that we're eating for the good things. And she had so many, I mean, on point replacements for our normal everyday eating habits. And she went through breakfast. She talked about doing those eggs and oatmeal, and she talked about our cereal. Yeah, the Raisin Bran and the Special K. It has a lot of wheat and gluten in it. And a better direction to go is with rice cereals. And that Cheerios, you know, we have experienced a lot of recalls on those Cheerios for many different reasons. But, yeah, what was once a staple in our cabinets, our family, our kitchen, our breakfast is now not as healthy as it used to be. Oh, my goodness, she gave us substitutions for lunch and even talked about the food truck. Yes. Oh, she talked about dinner. And I loved our conversation about snacks. Yes. How are we replacing our desserts and our snacks? And we talked about light pound cake and kale chips and nuts and chia pudding. Yes, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And that was the highlight for my week over here on His Due Time with Pastor Steph. Yep, that's how we did it. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, y'all. We made it. By the grace of God, we are at the end of the week. And guess what? We're also at the end of the month, August 30th. We only got one more day to get in that August. And we want to make sure that we suck it up. It's our last weekend, our last summer weekend. This upcoming week will be Labor Day. And we kind of officially put it all behind us. Alrighty. Alrighty. So, let's get our morning started. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Let's go tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever we do, don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
With gas prices on the rise, nobody wants to spend $80 a week to fill up when they could be spending one-fifth of that. This is why people have begun driving motorcycles and mopeds to work every day, and yet many of these people have little to no experience driving a bike. Did you know that in most motorcycle crashes, the riders are generally without training, as many are self-taught or learned from family or friends? And did you know that about half of the accident-involved riders had less than 5 months' experience on their vehicle before they crashed? Motorcycle training reduces crash involvement and is related to reduced injuries in the event of a collision. Classes range from beginner to experienced, and many are at a reasonable price. So take responsibility of your motorcycle, and instead of riding, start driving.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yep. Thanks be to God. He has gotten us to the end of the week. He has included us in the week. He has not eliminated us. He hasn't forgotten about us. We have awakened in our right frame of mind, and you should be so grateful to God. We're not up shaking the Monday morning blues and all kinds of things. So, what are we talking about today? You know, I always like to start off with some celebrity news. See what the rich folk are talking about. So normally I don't talk about, you know, who may have died or, you know, stuff like that. And I, at one point I used to, but I always forget. But Betty Bridges, now, you may not know her by name, but Todd Bridges' mom, I had no idea that she was an actor. Yes. I mean, I had no idea. And her list of credits are like crazy. She ranges from Good Times to Charlie Angels, Hill Street Blues, ER. Oh, my goodness gracious. I did not know. What is this here? Charlie's Angels, What's Happening, Wonder Woman, Different Strokes, Chips, Beverly Hills 90210, Ally McBeal, The Practice, Two Broke Girls. I didn't realize that she was such, she had so many credits to her name. Well, unfortunately, she has passed away. She has been in acting for 40 years, and she passed away at the age of 83. And I just did not realize that his mom was in the acting business. So we all know Todd Bridges, the one who played opposite Gary Coleman in Different Strokes. And they say she was instrumental in his sobriety. You know, for those of you who may not remember or may not know, he was really, unfortunately, into drugs and just a bad turn he took at one point. Yeah, really, really struggled at one point, and they say that she was a no-nonsense individual who did not play and is quite responsible for him getting himself together, which is good, which is really, really good. Let's see what else we're talking about today. Well, check this out. R. Kelly has a grievance. Yeah. He has a grievance against the COs in the prison where he is or where he was. I'm trying to figure out, is this something behind him? Well, we all know that he is serving. Yeah, he must serve two sentences. Yeah, he got all caught up with that lifestyle. And he is definitely going to spend a long time in prison. And he has gone from Chicago's Metro Correctional Center to North Carolina yet last year. So I'm not too sure whether at this quick moment in the story, whether this is something that he experienced last year and behind, or if this is something he's going to do now, or since he's been at this particular facility. So word has it that he is accusing the people in the prison of going through his emails and phone logs and discussing it with everybody. So in other words, putting his business on the street. And he's brought up this federal lawsuit where he's expecting something to be done. Now, I'm not getting that he's looking for a dollar, but definitely is arguing that they are not behaving correctly and is saying that because of it, he suffered emotional distress, which I'm finding to be a very interesting accusation. Yes. So this now retired prison guard is denying all these allegations. And he is really pushing because he's saying that they're going through his emails, his visitor and phone logs, and giving it to this Tasha K, who then published all the information on her social media platform. Now, she's claiming that she had nothing to do with any illegal activity. So, in other words, whatever information she got, she ascertained it legally, and that person, where she got it from, who she got it from, ascertained it legally. Now, R. Kelly's lawyer is saying that this here has been really twisted because they've gotten some stolen information. They've created all kind of chaos around his personal life. They're using information to influence people. And all of this was shared also with the prosecutors from his cases. And that there was a breach of privacy. So, I don't know. He claims, R. Kelly claims, that at least 60 police officers accessed his confidential files on the prison system. Now, I don't know how he would know how many. If that is the truth, how would he know how many? But, yeah, this is what he claims he's going through. Now, Mr. R. Kelly will be in the prison system till at least 2045. So I don't know. That's a long time to have to endure people who are after you. Now, they're probably breaching his privacy, of course. They can, and they probably are. I don't doubt it for one minute. Who does not want to get some, you know, private information about, you know, these inmates, especially inmates who are popular and they figure they got some stuff to sell? So my thing is just make her cough up where she got the information from. Because if it's information like what he's talking about, you know, his private phone logs and emails. Somebody inside would have to have access to it. She, on the outside, this Tasha K, could not have gotten this information. They couldn't have gotten the information. So all this, she thought it was ascertained legally. Whatever she's putting out on her site, you pretty much know whether this was private information or not. You know this. So they can work their way backwards. Well, they surely can, if they really wanted to. But the question is, will they? Will they, will they, will they? I'm doubting they about to do so. That's just past the steps feeling. They ain't running all around for no R. Kelly because they don't feel sorry for him. And people are money hungry. So, listen, just get smart and don't put nothing out there that's real personal. Now, I guess, you know, phone logs are phone logs. So whoever comes and visits you, visit information is visit information, and phone logs are phone logs. You know, you're going to be able to see who has spoken to this individual, so forth and so on, and ain't nothing going to change. You're going to have that information, and you're going to know who has access to it. So, I stumbled across an article. You know, I always like to give you some crazy trivia at times. So we're always talking about, you know, in life, not here on this due time necessarily, we're talking about lifestyle of the rich and famous. And, you know, some people really want to have the things that the rich people have. Some people want to be able to spend money like the rich people. And I stumbled across an article that talks about the stuff that they have bought as homeowners that they're like was such a waste of money. So, you know, we always think that these people spend their money wisely. Well, they don't necessarily. Sometimes these purchases are, you know, impulse purchases, and they're no different than we are. Look around, it's like, what in the world did I buy this for? Well, let's see what's on their list of regrets that's sitting up in their home. Somebody set a pool table. They say when they bought the house, the previous owner asked if they wanted the pool table, and they were like, oh, yeah, awesome, dude. And they say that those people just didn't want to move the pool table. Well, for them, they thought that they would be shooting all kind of eight ball, but it's only a place to fold the laundry. They're going to leave it to the person who comes behind them. Oh, my goodness. What else are they talking about? Well, this is kind of weird. They say one of the worst splurges they spent their money on was granite countertops. They're like, what a waste of money. You just have granite, and you have to clean it and clean it and clean it to make it look like when you first purchased it. And, you know, they generally don't have time to clean, clean, clean. You know, we automatically think that these people have, let's say, like maids, and yeah, well, at least this person doesn't, or at least didn't back during the time when they had the granite countertops. They're like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, somebody else said a pool. They were like, no, don't do it. First of all, they're not home a lot, and they're not home enough to enjoy all the work that goes into the pool. So they say that between the chemicals that you got to buy, the maintenance, the scrubbing that you have to do, the parts for the pump, the pool cover, and, you know, the off-season care. You know, you got to put that cover on it and all kinds of good stuff. They were like, waste of money. Waste of money and a tax on my time that I really don't even want to be bothered with. And they don't get in and out the pool the way they thought they would. What else are they wasting their money on? Glass showers. Wow. They say they're a pain to keep clean, and there's no privacy if someone else is in the room at the same time. You would think that, you know, it's something that you would like. It was like, nope. No, 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 no. 100% lawn. Now, I could tell you as a homeowner, man, they say they're expensive, bad for the environment. They say that bugs. There's a lot of work that goes into 100% lawn. Well, I got to tell you something. As a homeowner, almost 30 years, yeah, at the end of this year, God spares me 30 years, one of the things, the best things I could have ever done was put pavers in front of my house. Yep. I can't tell you how many times I was out there with one of those portable weed things and how many years I paid for someone to come and cut, trim, try to beautify, try to plant. It is a lot of work. Now we have these beautiful orangey, peachish color pavers. It looks great when it rains because you got this nice, clean slate. It looks so much better. And boy, I never, ever, ever have to worry about cutting grass again. So I agree with that homeowner. That's one I can definitely get with. Let's see what else they're talking about, how they've wasted their money over the years. Oh, high-end windows. They say they got talked into paying a ton of money for these Empire State Building windows. They say they really didn't need windows with triple thick or energy blocking glass. They really could have spent something on half the cost. Wow. You know, we always want to live like the rich people. Well, here's what they're saying about it. Oh, somebody said heated floors. Boy, they've known to be a failure. And they say replacing them or repairing them requires chipping up concrete, which is crazy expensive, time-consuming, and inevitable. Up. Here's another one I agree with. Wall-to-wall carpet. I will never put carpet in my house again. Oh, my goodness gracious. Life is so different with wall-to-wall carpet. The maintenance on that alone is a doozy, y'all. Is a doozy. You've got to constantly vacuum. And if you have pets, oh, no. That is really, really something that you don't want to have to endure. Definitely. not something that you want to have to endure. Let's see. Oh, somebody said a wooden deck. I was like, nope. Too much headache. Someone else said a hot tub. They've had to constantly fix the hot tub. So these are some of the things that, you know, if you should become a homeowner, or if you are a homeowner, you might want to take a little bit of time and do some research, because these are some of the things that people have experienced by owning a home and purchasing these things. All right, what are we talking about here? We got some stories. We've got some interesting stories. Well, one, we've got, you know, people are so evil. You know, we've been talking about the attack on our children. And there's this Florida woman who has been arrested for murdering her boyfriend's 9-year-old daughter by sicking her Rottweiler on the dog. I mean, on the baby. So this 34-year-old Tashelle Martin is being accused of murder of her boyfriend's 9-year-old daughter, Jamaria, after abusing this little girl. And one of the things that she did was sick the Rottweiler on the baby. And she really has been abusing her over a period of time. Now, the one thing I can't figure out is, where is the father? Where is the father? Because they have her on video commanding the dog to attack the little girl while the dog was on the leash. And they said that when they looked at her body was covered with evidence of abuse. So I'm really, the one thing they did not talk about was where the father was during all of this abuse. But hopefully she will clearly spend the rest of her life in jail. And she's only 34, so she could possibly have a long way to go. What else are we talking about? Talking about some of these rotten kids. I have been reading the caption on this one all week, but I did not read the details. So you have this incident that took place between an assistant principal and the student, where the student threw some object at this Texas assistant principal, hit her in the eye, and left her blind in the eye. Now, I'm trying to see how old this kid was supposed to be. They don't say. But they say that she now must go through some reconstructive surgery. And I don't know whether this was some type of temper tantrum or not, but she now has one less eye. This is really I mean, we applaud these teachers for all the stuff that they go through. They really endure a lot. And this is just one of the things that we're talking about. You know, when people dedicate themselves to our children and, you know, we're grateful to them. We talked earlier during this week about how, you know, the parents, remember we prayed for the parents. We talked about the relationship between the parent and the kids and the teachers and the parents and the teacher and the children. This here is crazy because I want to know, as a parent, what do you say? What do you literally say to you, this individual now? How do you apologize to this person for this? How? What do you say? You know, I'm so sorry. He didn't mean it. You know, he has these outbursts. We just got finished talking about this student who had autism and attacked a teacher's aide. Well, they say nothing about this particular child having any kind of special needs. No, not at all. Not at all. So I want to know what you would say to a parent to a teacher who now can't see because your child threw something at this individual. Boy, that must be some kind of conversation, huh? Wow. I don't know. I don't know what kind of punishment they're going to be talking about. Again, they're not mentioning this age of the child or anything. But I don't know, y'all. I don't know. All I know is I'm glad my kids are grown. And they have to assume everything they do as their own personal responsibility. Because I can't imagine what that conversation would be like. I'm being honest. Wow. You know, Taylor Swift, her and the Swifties should definitely be grateful. You know, she may look at this as, you know, she's lost a lot of money. But I don't know how many of you realize they've canceled her Austrian tour because they found out that there was going to be a huge terrorist attack. Yes. You know, they canceled the tour in Austria, and they said that they were, afraid that there was going to be some attack, but they did not give any details. Well, they have a little more information. And they say that what they stumbled upon would have killed a huge number of people, tens of thousands of people. Now, they're expecting that, or they counted, I guess all the tickets or the arena, seating capacity or, you know, attendee capacity. And they say, in total, they were expecting about 200,000 people to attend her tour. And they don't know, they don't say how they stumbled across this information, even just the basic information that there was a terrorist plot. But they have arrested three people who have been accused of planning this attack. And they say including one who was found with bomb-making material. So I guess that's how they could figure out about how many people would have possibly been killed, because they can assess the size of the bomb or the materials of the bomb. You know, what is the hatred? This world is wicked. They are wicked, wicked, wicked. And life means nothing to people. Nothing. So all I want to do is go to a concert. That's all I want to do. All I want to do is go to a concert. So they are not saying whether the people hated her or whether this was just some type of terrorist attack, just, and they were using this as one of the focal points of, you know, getting to as many people as possible. Well, thank God, however they found out, they found out, and that saved tens of thousands of people. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, and oh, boy. What else are we talking about? We got this. Okay, so, you know, I just got finished talking to somebody in Upper New York, and they were talking about this mask ban that, you know, these places are coming up with. And lo and behold, you know, that's why I always said, you know, you want to, there's like people who can't wear masks and things like that. And this person was telling me just yesterday that if you want to wear certain masks in this particular area, you have to go to the doctor and get like a note. Yeah. Because you have to prove your reason for needing a mask. And they were concerned because the COVID numbers, as we've been hearing, those numbers have been increasing. So it's like if you want to protect yourself, now I got to go get a doctor's note, you know? Well, I don't know. But they found this teen out in Nassau County who was seen wearing a mask in public where they have banned. And they just banned this, you know, these masks in this particular Nassau County. It was just signed since this month of August. And out in Hicksville, 18-year-old was out there, had this mask on Sunday. They say was acting quite suspicious, dressed in black, wearing a mask to conceal his identity. And he had on a ski mask that covered up his eyes, I mean covered up his face, but only showed the eyes. And they say as they were watching him, they noticed that he continued with this suspicious behavior. And he was trying to conceal some large bulge in his waistband. And this ended up being a 14-inch knife. So the officers stopped him, patted him down under this new mask law, found the knife, and they said that, you know, this young man refused to comply with the officers, so they placed him under arrest. He's charged with criminal possession of a weapon, obstructing governmental administration, and charged with violating the Mask Transparency Act. Now, the interesting part is, this is one of the things that I talked about yesterday with the person. I said, you are banning everybody from wearing a mask, but I promise you that those who are wearing masks for unscrupulous behavior and intent, you're going to be able to just tell, watch them. And sure enough, last night, I stumbled across this article. If a person is just wearing a mask for their safety or their health concern, there's not going to be anything that's going to attract you to them other than you just seeing them wearing the mask. That's it. That's simply it. But this particular person was acting funny. Now, here's the problem. Will there be people who they claim are acting funny, and they're really not going to be acting funny? But another reason to stop individuals, especially young men, yeah, you're going to get some of that. It's going to be just like the stop and frisk. You know, sometimes they actually stop people, and they found stuff. You know, they caught themselves a bad guy or two. But, oh, boy, this has just made it bad for everybody. Before you could even get out of the month, you dope, you are found with a 14-inch knife doing stuff. You're a dope. And I said this is going to make it bad for everybody because now, you know, once they start, they're going to be walking around with this. They're going to be walking around with, see, this is why, you know, we have to check people. And, oh, boy, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good at all. Not at all. Because how many are they going to approach that's not going to be good? Where's my brother Al? Let's talk to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Shot of the morning. Shot of the early morning. Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks, Brother Al. I'm all right. Thanks for joining me today. Yeah. Now, Brother Al, we got some stuff that we talked about this morning, and I just want to get your thought on some things. So the rich and famous, the rich and famous, I found an article on some items that they have purchased while being a homeowner, and they regret it. They thought it was a waste of money. It didn't serve the purpose in which they thought it would. As a homeowner, Brother Al, what have you bought in your home over the years that you can say, I will never do that again? That was a complete waste of money, or it was too much of a headache, or no, that's not good. That's not for me.
That's a good question. What have I bought? Man, bought for the home. Man, that's a great question because I try to buy things. Now, I bought personal stuff that I was like, you know, for me, but for the home, you know, I can say I went through a couple of water hoses, right? You know, watching TV and, okay, this water hose does this and that. I'm like, oh, my God, Jennifer is horrible. It's not doing what it says. And finally, I did get the water hose that I got that finally was that I thought it bought about 5 or 6 different ones, was the one, I forget the name of it, but like after you take the water out, it shrinks up. That one is a great water hose, but I went through about 5 of them before I got to that one.
Wow. Okay. But thank God it wasn't no huge investment. It may have been an inconvenience.
Right.
No huge investment, because some people, some of us who own homes, we'll put our money into things, and you're like, oh no, boy, did I just waste my money.
Yeah. I've been blessed. I haven't done that, invested anything really. Everything that I have done has been great. I thank God I only had to redo my roof only one time. So that was a great investment that would help save money, I've been blessed. I really haven't invested nothing big that caused me a headache.
Well, I'm with you, Brother Al. I've been here almost 30 years, and I have to say, God has been good to Stephanie, because I've had some real, real interesting people come through and work to rip me off. But as far as like purchasing something for the home, I've really been saved from that move. So I'm with you. I haven't had any real regrets. Anything that I put my money into has been a really good investment.
Yeah, and I have made some mistakes as far as, I'm sorry, I have made some mistakes as far as, just learning as far as refinancing. I made some mistakes on that from just not knowing.
Okay. The only thing about refinancing, it sets you back, Brother Al. You know what I'm saying? It's like, boy, I could have been finished with this a long time ago, but now refinancing means that I've actually started all over again. So that's one of the downsides to the refinance. It might address the immediate issue, but in the long run, wow, I sure wish I was closer to this payoff date.
Yeah, and you know what? It works great. I would say the refinances work great when you have a home that's an income home. This is a investment property, because what a lot of people, like I said, I learned, you're not trying to pay your investment off. It's an investment for a reason, to make money. And then when you're tired of it, whatever, I'm going to sell it and I'm still going to make money. But your personal home, like you said, it's starting over. So you didn't got 15 years down. Then you refinance, then you back to 30. So, yeah.
Right. That's starting all over. Ain't no joke. Well, what's one of the best investments you've made in your home?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's perfect. I would say the best investment I made was when I had my windows replaced. Because my house got about 20 windows. And I believe that cost me about $14,000, $14,000 or $15,000. And people looked at me and said, oh, my God, that's so much money. But the key with that is that the windows are for life. If a screen is messed up, there's a crack in a window, they replace the window. I just make a call, give them my number, my account number, and they come out and fix everything for free. So I would say that's the best investment I made for the house.
Okay,
and they
have
really
good
windows. Like, it could be noise outside, and I close that window, it's silent. Usually during the winter, how we do from old school practice stuff. It get cold, we put plastic up in the window.
Yep,
I don't have to do
that's
it.
Right.
Like, the windows are so secure. So that's like the best investment I made. And like I said, it's for life. As long as I got the house, even if I sell the house, I could pass it on to the new owner, which again makes it more money for me. But okay, listen, you can get this house, I'm also giving you this package with this. So that was like the best investment I made for the house.
You know what, Brother Al? I must agree. I haven't made a whole lot of investment, but I tell you, the windows. The windows.
Oh, yeah.
What, the best investment that I've done. And like you said, you're looking at the big cost, but it's really because it goes with the longevity of the home. You could be dead and gone, and them windows are still covered. Windows are still covered. Sell it. Windows are still, you know, included. So I agree with you because there's very few things that will go with the lifespan of the home. You know, everything else comes with an expiration date. I got to agree with you, Brother Al. I got to agree with you. All right, Brother Al. We've got this issue of these face masks. And I don't think you were a part of the conversation. But, you know, face bans, these face masks are being banned in quite a few locations. And Nassau County out here in Long Island, this month they banned the wearing of the mask. And sure enough, they find out that one person that gets stopped, 18-year-old, was concealing a 14-inch knife and was up to no good. So they're going to cite, oh, this is an excellent plan because we were able to catch somebody doing some criminal behavior. But is this going to be, in your opinion, something that is going to be good, something that's going to be bad?
I would say I believe there's going to be a little bit of both. And because, again, with me here working in the school, what people got to realize, there's a difference between wearing a mask and a ski mask. That is considered a ski mask where you got nothing showing but just your eyes. And, you know, and I've sit back and watch these kids come in stores. I was in a store over here not too far from where I work at in the school, and these kids came in with a ski mask. And basically just took stuff and run out. You know, so it's sad that you got some people wear it for, you know, protection of the cold weather or whatever, but then you got these other kids wear it for a different reason. So, again, it puts a hurt on everybody. And I think it would be a bad way because, again, they're going to target kids. You know, you got a ski mask, come in, let me see you, let me search you. So I think it's kind of good and bad on that end.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us, Brother Al. Let's talk to our Pastor KL, see what he has to say before we get to our main topic. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. All right, Pastor KL, how you doing over there?
I'm all right. Just having a Barry White moment.
Okie dokie now, okie dokie. Pastor KL, we were talking about the lifestyle of the rich and famous, as we do on Fridays. And they have a list of things that they've purchased as a homeowner that they're saying was the worst purchase they could have ever made. It was a true waste of money, and if not a waste of money, a waste of time, energy. It was just a bust. As a homeowner, what's something that you can say was the worst thing you could have purchased?
Well, fortunately, unfortunately, you know, I've only been in my home going on 2 years, and I really haven't bought anything that was a waste. Yet, I'm sure I will in the future that I'll be disappointed in. You know, I got a few Temu things that, you know, I was a little disappointed with. But other than that, you know,
yeah.
I'm okay.
Well, I mean, you've been in a home. This may be a newer home, but you've been in a home. So in all the time you've been in a home, there's never been a purchase? I mean, that would be a real sweet life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was in a home for 16 years, and no. I mean, I was never disappointed in anything that we bought. I think that with me being as cheap as I am, you know, I calculate stuff. And you know, I really need it when I buy stuff. So I research. I'm not that person who goes into the store and because it's there, I go and buy. Man, I go to 50 stores. It might take me 6 months before I buy a can opener, you know, because I got to see, you know, what this can opener do. I'm still looking for an air fryer, and I've been here for 2 years, you know what I mean, because I keep going and seeing, you know, how many quarts is this, how many pieces of chicken is going to fry. Yeah, I'm just real anal like that.
Well, listen, I'm with you, and from what I've heard, Brother Al, he ain't nobody who's out there splurging like that either. Got to protect them pennies. Got to protect them pennies.
Right.
On the flip side, what's the best thing? What's one of the best things you could have ever bought for your home?
Well, one of the best things I bought for my home so far was my camera system. I have a standard camera system, and I could be in New York and I can watch my house and talk to you if you're in my house. I can open my doors from my house. I mean, from your house. If someone comes to my house and needs to get in, I can open the doors from your house.
Wow. Okay. Nice. All right. Well, I never thought about that. You know, something that's going to unlock my doors. So wait. So in other words, when you turn the thing, it don't have a click thing, that little piece that goes into the hole and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I have what's called a keyless entrance. Now, if the battery dies, I have a key, of course, so I can get in. But what happens is that I punch in a combination. And when you close the door, it automatically locks. You don't have to put the combination back in. It's all. So if you go outside to get the mail, and you wasn't the person who had a combination, you outside.
Okay.
But the lock's behind me. Unless you call me, then I can remotely unlock it from where I'm at.
Oh, okay. You know, I do have one of those locks, on the door where you put a combination in. And I have to tell you, I love it. I love it. The battery died, and it seemed like with the battery dying, the whole thing just went kaput. I'm considering buying a new one. But I have to tell you, I like it. And I miss it. I miss just being able to punch a combination in it. Brother Al, do you have one of those combination entryways in your house?
I'm sorry. I missed some of that conversation. I was talking about. What combination of what?
When you put like a number in the keypad.
With your front door.
Okay. That's what I was going to do. Yeah, I have one. I have one. I like it. You can use a combination. There's an app on your phone that I can open the door before I get there or whatever.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I have. I like it.
Okay. All right. So
when it's raining, you just stay in your car, you unlock the door, and you run it.
Yeah. If you got a guest coming by your house and they get there before you, you can take
that truck
and open it up. And you know, go in, but don't touch that. I got a camera watching you.
I got cameras inside too.
Okay. Interesting. All right, guys. Now, Pastor KL, we just got finished talking about the fact that they are signing laws, you know, all over the place that prohibit you from wearing these ski masks because, you know, you could be doing something unscrupulous. Well, sure enough, out here in Nassau County, they just signed the bill this month, making it illegal. And lo and behold, you've got this 18-year-old who was caught with a ski mask. The cops were watching him. He was acting a little fishy. They said that they noticed that he was trying to conceal something in his waistband. And lo and behold, they stop him. They find out that he has a 14-inch knife on him, and they end up arresting him. Now, needless to say, they're going to love this dope who just put a stamp on why they are, you know, passing these laws all over the place. But do you think that this is going to make it good or bad for this ski mask incentive?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. It's gonna be good for the potential victims and or, you know, the retailers. It's gonna be bad because anybody who wears a ski mask is gonna be suspect. It's almost like after 9/11. If you look like him, you know, saying that they didn't want to be on a plane with you. You know what I mean? And it's not fair, but it just poses that kind of threat. You know, so it's and then, you know, a lot of times it's us who wear the ski mask. So that's just gonna be another reason to stop us. You know, now if you're in a place like Alabama, if you wear a ski mask in Alabama, you're trying to rob somebody. Because there's no purpose to wear it. Don't get that cold,
right?
You know, so it's gonna be dangerous. It's gonna be a dangerous thing.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to be able to. This is not gonna go well, you know, because now they're going to be pulling more people aside, you know, citing that they looked suspicious or was acting suspicious, and now. Now you've got a whole new issue on your hands. So, oh boy. All right, I got a little article here that I thought was really interesting. And I'm like, yo, you know what? Here we go again. You know, with this, you go from one problem to the next. So, out in California, guys, they have arrested a group of illegal migrants who was getting on the school bus with the children. So as they were going to the different school stops, these illegals were getting on the bus. And to the degree of the parents having to help them to monitor the students that were being picked up. So they would have to get ready. When they were getting ready to put their kids on the bus, they would have to say, well, you don't belong on this bus. You don't look like a kid. This is how bad it's gotten. So now, these school bus routes, they now have to. So if they were going to pick up at the corner of 8th Avenue, and they get to 8th Avenue and they see people at 8th Avenue's bus stop that appears as though they are not supposed to be on the bus, they have to go to the next bus stop to pick up the children. Now, so do the parents and the children. So everybody going to the next bus stop to get on the bus. You know, they say that these people are donned with backpacks. Oh, boy. Trying to make themselves look like students. What do you do about this issue, Brother Al? You've gone from one extreme straight to the next.
So you said, I want to make sure I got this right. So you're saying they're legal immigrants, and they're trying to get on a bus, and they're having issues with that.
They are illegal immigrants.
Oh, illegal. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Illegal. Oh,
yes, they are illegal immigrants they have actually successfully gotten on the bus in past times to the point where this is the second group they're saying who is trying to do this. They had one group who did it for a while, and they managed to get rid of that group. Now they've got a whole new group who's trying to board these buses, who have bought the buses, but now you've got the parents who are now the eyes and the ears as well.
Wow, that is just so sad. You know, I mean, me personally, you know, when you catch them doing like that, let's send them back. You got to go. You already here illegal anyway, so you got to go. You know, I've been watching the news lately, and it's just been crazy with these illegal immigrants and some of the stuff that they're doing. And it's like they're getting away with it. It's like they won't get punished for it, you know. So, I mean, I'm glad that the parents are saying, okay, no, we're not going for that. We're gonna monitor this ourselves. Y'all don't want to help us, we're going to do it. You know, it's crazy. So you're already showing these people that, hey, I can come over here and do what I want to do. Not only is America the greatest place to live, but I can come over here and get away with stuff. And so, again, like you said, you got rid of one group, and they said they got rid of them. So they sat back and said, they got rid of them. Maybe they were doing it wrong. They didn't do it this way. All right, y'all, let's do it this way. You know, that's crazy. That's insane. Send them back.
Okay. Send them back across the border. Pastor Carol, what are they doing with these people? How are they handling this particular problem?
Obviously, they're not handling it too well. I mean, after they build the wall, let's put them back over the wall. You know, give them a job, build the wall, then send them back over the wall. But I mean, this is an inconvenience to our children who really got to go to school. So, I mean, because you're saying, you know, they're going to the next stop to get on. So what if you ain't got a car? You know, what if the children and parents don't have a car? So how do you get to the next stop? Or do you just miss school that day? You know, this is a total inconvenience. And then, you know, at some point, these immigrants can't talk English. So ask them what school they going to. If they can't tell you, they can't get on. You know, you can tell illegal immigrant. I'm just not understanding how they bully their way on the bus. I don't care what you look like. You know, this ain't been part of your routine. These children, the same children get on the bus all the time.
Right.
You didn't
right.
notice that essay is on the bus today? Essay ain't never been on the bus.
But you're right, and this is how some of the parents were able to say, you don't belong in this bus, because if your child is riding this bus on a consistent basis, like you said, you know the faces, you know the parents. I mean, we're all sitting at this 8th Avenue. Those 8th Avenue parents know those 8th Avenue kids and parents. The ones that shop at 12th Avenue, they know the 12th Avenue kids and parents. These ain't no new people. So like you said, yo, what is going on that, you know, you would not be able to detect the kids, and they are getting on the bus. They are successfully getting on the bus under your watch. Yo, really?
Right. Pastor, is this a school bus that the kids are getting on, or a regular bus?
School bus out in California, the school bus.
Okay, now, and that shows you the nonsense, because, first of all, the school bus has to have a bus attendant. The bus attendant has a list of the kids who belong on the bus. So something real fishy going on.
Well, unfortunately, Brother Al, for the past 2 years, this bus system, the school bus system, has been at a disadvantage because they have had no money. We just did a story earlier this week where they don't have enough bus drivers. So they've got all the buses, they've got all the kids, but they're now trying to hire new bus drivers because they don't have bus drivers. You're talking about matrons. What matron? You ain't even got somebody to drive the bus. So we did studies last year where their bus, they didn't have money for bus drivers. They didn't have money for bus matrons. A lot of these buses are unattended once they get on with the bus driver. And they were talking about some of the difficulties that the bus driver was having. So unfortunately, we're at a point where you're leaving it up to the bus driver to do everything. The bus driver got to be the bus driver. He got to be the security guard. Got to be the matron. It's like you're doing everything, and now it's so bad that you as a bus driver have let on, you know, illegals up to 20. They say it's a crew of 20. The crew that they just busted was a crew of 20. So this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. So I'm like, well, how do we handle this problem? How do we get rid of this problem? So I don't know. I think, again, this is something we suggested last year. We talked about letting some of these parents who don't work, have swing shifts, have, you know, third shifts and overnight shifts and things like that, let them help you with this, which they are showing to be, you know, a good source, you know, of assistance, because they're the ones who, one woman, she said she has an 8-year-old boy, and she noticed, okay, you don't belong on this bus. Where'd you come from? And sure enough, it was an illegal trying to get on the bus. So my thing is, well, the next thing, what are you going to say? The illegals are sitting up in the classrooms? Because y'all let them up in the classrooms too? I don't know, guys. I don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to move forward. Because this here,
and
this is no joke.
It's funny that you say that, Pastor Seth, because they will do that in the school. I see it here in the school. When they'll go to, they have a building they go to that's in, ahead of the school. And you bring a child in there and say that child is not in school, they go on a list and say, okay, such as PS-238 got room. They get them a letter, take them there. When they bring them here to our school, we have to take. I've had that happen here this week. You know, we got, I won't say that they illegal, I don't know, but we had some Haitian kids come. Don't speak a lick of English. Good thing we had some people here that can translate. And they showed us the letter that we had room for eighth graders. And this kid can't speak no English, and we have to register. No question asked. We have to register. So I'm like, okay, so now this kid sitting in the class, don't speak the language. How are we supposed to educate this young man or young woman? So that's how they look at it like, oh, no, all kids got to be in school no matter what. So when they come to us, we have no choice. It's crazy.
Wow. You want to make sure that these children have an education, but are they really getting one when they cannot communicate? And we talked last year about my granddaughter who said that there was a little girl who came to the class and she does not speak any English. So we asked her, well, what happens to her all day? And she said that she has to pick up what she picks up and whatever she does and she doesn't. And I was asking her, I said, well, do y'all talk to her, you the kids, do y'all talk to her, you play with her? She's like, yeah, you know, they play with her and, you know, she, you know, interacts with the children and all. But when it comes to the classwork, and I feel so bad because they're sitting there and, listen, there are enough people in this country who can speak English that can educate these kids. I'm trying to figure out, why is this not a plan? You know these people are coming into the country. Why you don't put them into a whole separate school where you break them down in the language that they speak? How do you put them in a classroom where there's only an English-speaking teacher and they speak no English? How do you communicate? This is such a poor plan. Oh, my goodness, this is such a poor plan, such a poor plan. Such a poor plan. So now you have this child who's here from Haiti, who speaks absolutely no English, and who you run the risk of him being picked on, And, oh, my goodness gracious, this is, they got to do better than this. They have to do better than this. Well, okay, so I'm talking to two homeowners, right? I don't know how y'all felt, but I'm going to tell you, I had my thoughts. So they say out in California, they have the lawmakers who advanced a bill that would give illegal immigrants up to $150,000 in first-time home ownership loans. If passed and signed into law, it would give first-time home buyers up to 20% of a home's value or up to $150,000 as down payment assistance. Brother Al, I'm going to start with you. What say you?
Well, that's good to know. So I think that I'm going to leave the country for a little bit and come back. Possibly get this money to help me get a house. You know, it's supposed to leave this amount of good money. But I think it's horrible. I'm just going to be straight honest, because you got people who live here in the States who've been dying to get a home and just can't afford it and just get pushed away, get pushed through the red tape. Then you get these immigrants coming and you just willing to help them at all costs. Most of them don't even have an ID or a social security number. And you're going to just get, I think it's just a slap in the face. You know, I think it's just a slap in the face. I sit back and watch. I mean, I always say, I'm all for helping people. But you know what? Take care of home first. After you take care of home, then you help others from there. And that's just a slap in the face right there.
Okay, I'm going to hold my comment till after Pastor KL speaks. As a brand new homeowner, Pastor KL, you had to go through, you know, what, jump through how many hoops and all kinds of things. And yet we hear illegal immigrants can receive this type of benefit.
I think that's absurd. Because I'll tell you, some of the houses in Alabama is $150,000. So you're buying a whole house for some of these folks. You know, and I could have used a couple of dollars. You know, I could have spoke Spanish or looked somewhere and we've been French just to get. I mean, it ain't fair. You know, and then the other side to it is that, you know, I was talking about, you know, we got a lot of folks who's in distress and, you know, who's out of place, and we're not helping them. We got veterans who live on the street, who has fought for our country, and you won't give them anything, but we got folks that's climbing walls. So we've had people in foxholes, let's say that. We've had people running over mountains fighting for us, but these guys are climbing walls and getting rewarded. Really?
I'm just trying to figure out, what do you say? What do you say? Here's the office that sits on the corner of Mockingbird Lane and Oak Street. You go to this office. What do you say to become an applicant? I just got here 15 minutes ago. I don't have any paperwork that legalizes me to be here in the United States. It doesn't matter how I got here, because the criteria is if I'm illegal. So it doesn't matter how long I've been here illegally. It doesn't matter how I got here, whether I was smuggled in a barrel, or whether I came underneath the car, whether I climbed the wall, whether I came through the barbed wire. It doesn't matter. I made it here. and I'm going to turn over an application to you that says, oh, okay, just fill this out. You can be eligible for up to $150,000 for a home. And people here who have invested all their lives can't get an apartment? What sense does that, if that is something, Al said, it is a slap in the face, it is more than a slap in the face. You have both cited what we've been saying for the longest time. There are our veterans. There are people who have paid taxes ever since they've been working as young people. They are now seniors, and they can barely afford where they live. They do not qualify for assistance. So how do you tell people that there's no assistance for them, but illegal? That's the part that killed me. I mean, even if I swallowed, okay, you're an immigrant, and I have nothing against people coming here. Get here legally, we good. Get here legally, we're good, because we have all been insulted where we can't, if we make $5 too much, you can't get Medicaid. You make $2 too much, you can't get food stamps. If you don't have any assistance and you want to get one of the supplemental benefits, if you don't have an income, you can't get a supplemental benefit. So in other words, what I'm trying to say for those of you who don't know is you cannot get Medicaid and you cannot get food assistance if you do not have an income. Your income could be $5, but you better have an income. You better have something that you show that you have an income, because they are supplemental benefits. They are benefits that are supplemented by whatever you can afford. So if you make 2 cents more than what the criteria is, you get nothing. But you are literally saying that a person who has done nothing to contribute... How in the world did we get here? How did we get here? $150,000? Oh, my gosh. Like Pastor KL said, whether you're full out buying a home at $150 in Alabama or some of these other states, or whether that's just a piece of it, you are still robbing the American citizens from being able to benefit from America. Who sits behind a desk and makes these laws? Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. I am just blown away. I was like, I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow. I cannot wait to talk about this tomorrow. Oh,
and you know, I feel your frustration, because it's frustrating. You know, I actually have a friend. We've been friends about 20-something years. And she lives in the Bronx, and she works for public assistance. And she's been there almost 30 years. She's getting ready to retire. But she said what really made her decision, and she said, because she sit there, and she said she watched the immigrants come in. And she said the normal question that they would ask us, they tell them don't ask them that. They ask them what's their name, where they from, and she said, and they tell them, give them whatever they need in a high amount. So I walk in there, they give me $20 in food stamps, but give her $1,500 in food stamps. You know, so she said it's ridiculous. She said it's unfair and it's ridiculous. You know, so she's like, I'm getting retired, get out of here, because this is just not right. So it's crazy.
Wow. Well, you hear my frustration also, Brother Al, as a single mother. I will never forget when I moved into my home, and I can say this now because 30 years deep can't touch me now. I moved into the home. I had the two girls, and I really wasn't making a whole lot of money. Trust me, only God could have made moves that got me into this home where I didn't make like a whole lot of money. But I was here, and I filled out the lunch form, and one of the girls came back with a note that said, please call Miss So-and-so. So I get to work the next day, and I call Miss So-and-so. So she was like, okay. She says, what's your name? I said, Griffin. She says, Miss Griffin, you just started, because I started the girls when school started at the top of, after the Christmas break. We moved here during the Christmas break, and I started, so this was brand new in the middle of the year. And she says, Miss Griffin, you just moved? And I said, yeah. She said, okay, we got all your papers, everything. She said, you can't put all this money on this lunch form. I'm like, what? And she said, you put too much money on the lunch form. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, I was not making a whole lot of money. And I was a single parent. I was the only person on the lunch form for two children. And she was like, next time, she said, you didn't know because you're brand new. She said, but next year, she said, just send one of the girls with the, just sign it. She said, sign it. I'll put the numbers in. She said, but you can't put all this money on this lunch form. And I'm like, what? So here I am, a single parent with a mortgage, with bills, taking care of two children by myself, and they felt that the $5 I was making was too much. And here was a lady who was like, no. She said, you're the only one. I was like, yeah. She said, no. She said, because they'll deny you. They'll deny you. Now, this was 30 years ago. I was making $5 30 years ago, and that was too much money, and we would have gotten denied. So you would have told a single mother with two children, a home, and all kinds of expenses that it would have been too much money she made, and now I would have had to pay for my kids to have lunch. This is so sick what and how you treat American people to get. This is why you know there is some back door arrangements and all kinds of things being made from the top. Because this here makes no sense. None. All of these benefits make no sense. It's almost like you better make sure you are a person who has given your life to the Lord, because I don't know how you're making it. I don't know how you're making it. I don't know, Brother Al. I don't know. Shut us down, Brother Al. What's your word for today?
My word for today is prayer, and that's what we have to do. We have to believe in it. We have to live it, because that's the only thing that's going to get us through what's all going on in this world, what's going on in our life. We have to pray. We have to pray and ask God for his wisdom, his help. So I'm going to say my word for the day is prayer. Praying. Pray, pray, pray.
All righty. Thank you, Brother Al. Pastor KL, what are we talking about today?
Well, you guys have really wrapped it up. You said that we need to know God in order to survive. The Bible says that foxes have holes, birds have nests in the air, but there's no place for the Son of Man to lay his head. So remember that the righteous is going to scarcely make it in. They might not even get to heaven. We got to live a life, saying that's going to be pleasing to God. So that God can completely take care of us. We have to completely give our life to him, completely give our children to him, so that we can be covered. Because as you see, the world don't care about us. The enemy is doing their job. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. We can't keep on getting mad at the enemy because they're doing their job. When you go to a restaurant and they do just what they're supposed to do, you are pleased because that is their job. They are doing their job. Now it's time for us to do ours. We are not on our job, but yet we want the benefits, of getting paid. We want the benefits of having medical benefits. We want all these benefits, but we won't do our job. Get on your job, people.
Amen. Thank you, my gentlemen, for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You as well.
You do too, and I'm gonna get that $150,000. I'm gonna work it out. I'm getting that money.
All right, that's it.
I'm getting that money, Pastor Carol. We gonna talk. We gonna get this money.
Hola, señor.
Oh, enjoy, guys. Enjoy. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's get this benediction. Ah, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 5, 12, and 13. Oh, my. You know, amazingly, this is where we've arrived. And the gentleman have said it, you know, if you don't find your life hidden in the Lord, I don't know how you're making it. You know, a lot of times I think about before I knew the Lord, as Pastor Kim Kale would say, you know, in my former life. And I say to myself, how did I manage with a hopeless life? And there is no hope when you don't have God. That's just something that just can't happen. There's no real hope. You're keeping your fingers crossed. You're knocking on wood. You're holding your breath. You know, you're rubbing a four-leaf clover and then rabbit's foot. And this is the kind of stuff that, excuse me, you're putting your hope and your trust in. You know, you're playing a lotto hoping that you'll hit. And you're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're struggling and you're really worried about how you're going to make ends meet, and you're hearing all of these injustices. You're hearing how the scale is not balanced. You're hearing how, you know, you don't receive favor in your own, you know, on your own turf, in your own land. You're hearing how, you know, the good guys end last. You're hearing how, you know, all of these people are flourishing and, you know, how is it that they can make it but I can't? And then you read the Word of God. You know, when I started off today, I, you know, went back to last week's switch tip that we got from Shantees. This is rely on God's Word. And the one thing that makes this so beautiful when you accept Jesus is that you can live on his promises. You can stand on the promises of God. You can know that, you know, as they would say in the street years ago, you could take God's word to the bank. You know that God will never fail you. You know that whatever God told you he's going to do, he's going to do. You know that regardless, come what may, you'll do what you're supposed to do. God's going to come through for you. And as we live in a world, in a time where you can be illegal and receive better benefits than those who are in their proper place, if that ain't a sign that you need the Lord, then I don't know what else it's going to take. Because whether it's you can be an illegal person and you can come into another country and you can get all the benefits that the people who live there can't, or whether you can walk in and say, you know, I'm a criminal and they don't even arrest you or they don't call up police on you and you just, you know, can flourish. Because technically that's what you're saying. If you're here illegally, that means that you've technically committed a crime. But because America has finagled and have dealings with these countries they have now made what used to be, you know, criminalistic, okay. When time has changed, where the wrong is now right and the right is now wrong, we need Jesus. And I go back to saying, this is a result of a world that has said no thank you. See, we're going to see more and more and more of this as time goes on. Until Jesus returns, we are going to see more and more injustice because the world is becoming more wicked. The world is rejecting God more, and God is just stepping back and saying, fine, whatever you like, I'm okay with. I'm not going to step up. I'm not going to stand up. You know, this rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. It's going to look a whole lot different now because you're not going to feel as though there's a whole lot of just coming. Trust me when I tell you. Because God's not going to continue to hand out all of his blessings to people who keep saying no. We're seeing evidence of it now. We're seeing evidence of people who have not given their children to God. So now you didn't give your children to God. So now those same children that you didn't give to God are now killing their children. This is a pattern. This seems to be the thing. Every single day you pick up the news, every single day you watch the news, somebody is killing a child. These children have been raised and brought here by people who don't want God. And this is the result of God just stepping back and saying, you don't want to give your children to God? Well, unfortunately, the world, they're in the world. And this, if this stuff is not making you more aware, making you more wiser, making you more wise to understand, I really need a Savior. There is a God who is our Creator, who is in charge. And with all that I'm going through, it's getting worse. It's literally getting worse. And we've got to get to a point where we make that decision for us, for our children. Because that's the only covering you have. It's not that we don't live a, you know, or we live a carefree life, those of us who have given Christ our life. But I tell you one thing, it's much better. It's much better than people who have not given their life to God. I say to myself, if I'm looking at this here now, what in the world would I be facing if I did not give Christ my life? So I encourage you today, pay attention to the news. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what we're being offered. Pay attention to the condition of this world. Pay attention to the fact that the Word of God says that the enemy is the prince of this world. But you have the ability to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That the King is much higher than the prince. And if I've got the prince for me, who can be against me? I thought of something the other day, and one of the things I thought of was, I'm looking at myself where, I don't know, it was something in here the other day. I was just simply washing dishes, and I would like to say God gave me something. And I was like, oh, well, that ends that. Something that everybody does. I can't even remember. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. But I'm like, okay, I won't be doing that anymore. And it was something just that was just seemingly nothing. And I thought about my grandmother. I remember every time we went, every Sabbath we went to church, she was saying something else she wasn't doing. And we were like, that too? Because there were things that she would say that she wasn't doing, but she didn't necessarily say, you better not do it, or, you know, the word of God says that you shouldn't do it. It was things that God was dealing with her personally, and she had no problem. And it for all these years, I've never even thought about it, but I thought about it the other day when it happened to me. And I was saying to myself, I was like, boy, when people look at you and they hear you, every little thing, you know, you're not doing anymore. Every little thing, you know, that's not going to be you, because that's how God is dealing with me. And that's what made me think of her. And I said to myself, I said, well, you know what, God? I ain't mad. If you say don't do that, then, oh, well, I guess it won't get done. I ain't mad. I'm sure I can live with it, or I'm sure I can live without it. And I gave God thanks that he's dealing with me like that. Because if that means that I'm just a step closer to salvation, bring it on. I'm not worried about what this world is doing. I ain't worried about what the next door neighbor's doing. I don't care what my kids do. I don't care about anybody else but Stephanie at the end of the day. As a pastor, I have people that are underneath me that I must take care of, that I must oversee their lives, that I must give them the word of God. However, at the end of the day, we will have to face God for ourselves. When Jesus comes back, he said there's going to be two in the bed. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. We are straight individuals. And I said to myself, I was like, wow, God, I thank you for loving me so much that you are just picking out, just chiseling away at things that may not be quote unquote wrong, but if it keeps me from doing everything that I'm supposed to do, if it keeps me from crossing over that little gray line, if it keeps me from, you know, that gray area now existing, if it's keeping me at a point where I can't see right from wrong, because now there's a compromising point, because you can look at it this way, but if you don't look at, no. Thank you for making this black and white for Stephanie. Thank you. And I don't care who says what, and that's what made me remember her. She would stand up. She was like, I'm not doing it. At one point, she was like, I'm not marrying anybody who's not going to this church. And everybody was like, wow. Okay, well, it didn't matter to me because, you know, it just didn't matter to me. But there were other things that she would say that you, because I couldn't marry nobody, no way. But there were just other things that you would say, like, is she, like, subtly telling me I can't do that either? You were like, oh, man. But the look on her face, her determination, it didn't matter to her. She didn't care. She was like, I'm just not, the Lord dealt with me. I'm not doing such and such a thing anymore. Don't ask me. Don't talk to me about it. It's just not happening here. And we would just be looking at her like, another thing? Well, what are you going to be able to do later? Stand in a box? But it didn't bother her at all. And I'm understanding what this walk is about. That if God decides to start chiseling away at pieces of you, I don't care who does what. I don't care what's going on in this world, because as you can see, this world cares nothing about us. So while I'm worrying about this and that and that and this and being able to do that and not being able to do this and walking here and talking there and being able to yell here but got to be quiet there, and I'm twisting myself up, the world is just chiseling away at Stephanie on its own. To be able to tell me that someone can actually not be here legally, that they could have gotten here any kind of way, but you are eligible for any benefit. I don't care whether it's a food benefit, housing benefit,
clothing benefit, I don't care. But you are eligible for a benefit. And I, who have invested, I paid for you to be here. But they would tell me no. There are senior citizens who are eating dog food. There are senior citizens that are almost homeless. These people have invested in this country. These people have paid taxes. These people have worked. And you are literally telling them that there is no assistance. You're telling them that there is very little assistance. Provide us this information and we can help you to this degree. That some of them don't have the proper health care. Because of what? The money that they're taking, that you're charging against them, is the same money that they are taking to pay for all these people to live here for free, whether they got here legally or not. This is a scary world to live in, but it's an even scarier world to live in without God. Oh. Scarier world to live here without God. This is something that I would never consider now. Never. It took me 35 years to give God my life, but it wouldn't take me 35 minutes right now to change anything that I needed to change to be on the side of God, because that's who you're going to need in order to make it. That's who you're going to need in order to make it. That's who you're going to need for your children and your grandchildren to make it. I keep telling y'all, I do not celebrate any new arrivals. I'm sorry. Y'all may think I'm crazy, but I'm standing where my grandmother was. It don't bother me. No, because what is the world going to be like when my granddaughter, God spares her life, gets to be 40, gets to be 30, excuse me, gets to be 20? What is this? What are they going to be facing? I don't enjoy that thought at all. So here's what we need to do. We are taking everything we have. My daughter and I are taking, and I'm not talking about her mother. Her mother is giving her a mother's love. She's loving her to death. But my daughter is not giving her God directly. She has handed Mariah over to Shantice and I, to give every bit of God to Mariah, because Mariah needs God today, because there's a war on our children. Mariah's going to need God as a teen. Mariah's going to need God as a young adult. Mariah's going to need a God at my age, and Mariah's going to need God if he allows her to become a senior citizen. And if we do not invest in them now, if we do not give them God now, they will be nothing but minced meat in this world. So it's not just about you. It's about everybody who needs God around you. You are not just accepting God for you. You are accepting God for you and your neighbors. Join me. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my men, for always coming take time. Thank you for hanging out with us all week. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to anyone. Well, it's the holiday weekend, so we will not be in the prayer room on Sunday, but God spares, I will see you shaking the Monday morning blues on Monday. Until then, God spares, I love you.